Hi everyone, welcome to another KE Report webinar. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host. I am featuring Vizsla Resources in this webinar. Vizsla is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VZLA and on the OTCQB under the symbol VIZSF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Mike Connert. Now, Mike is going to take us through almost a recap of what has happened this year at the company's flagship Panuco project in Mexico. The company's made a handful of discoveries at this project and continues to have one of the largest drill programs in Mexico. Now, I have already received a number of questions from everybody who sent them to me before the start of this webinar. I appreciate all of those questions coming in. But if any of you have any questions as we progress through this webinar, please use the internal question function on this webinar platform, and I will be monitoring those questions as Mike continues through the overall presentation. If there's anything that we missed or on the recording you think of any follow-up questions, please email me fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Mike to address those in future interviews that him and I conduct, usually on the back of news. Now, Mike, I'm going to shut off my camera. I'm actually going to turn off your camera as well so that everybody can focus more on the presentation. At the tail end, we will be addressing a lot of those questions, but I will also be interjecting some questions throughout the presentation. So I might be talking over you for a little bit, but that's just to make sure that we are getting the questions addressed when they come in and at reasonable points throughout the presentation. So, Mike, thank you for taking time and take it away. Let's get some more information on this Panuco project and the work that's been done, please.
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you, Corey. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and go over the Vizsla Resources and our Panuco Silver Gold District. And so it's actually been a pretty wild ride for 2020. We started out the year basically around this time last year. We were going out and raising $6 million for the company. That was for the initial go public of the district, basically into Vizsla. And over that following year, we traded around 40 cents, traded up to 90 cents in that area. And then of course we had the pandemic hit in March and had that crash in gold and silver. And I think we traded down as far as $2.25. And so, that was a pretty difficult time for the company, but we were fairly well financed. And after that, we went out and we were able to make a series of very significant discoveries, some of the highest grade in Mexico's recent history. And of course, that changed the trajectory for Vizsla significantly. Now, I'll be making forward-looking statements, and I always kind of make the same joke. I believe the best is yet to come for Vizsla, and so that is a forward-looking statement. Now, our vision for Vizsla is to become a low-cost, high-margin, sustainable producer of silver and gold at the Panuco project. The way that we're going to do that is to delineate high-grade resources and then move from drilling into production, utilizing the project's excellent infrastructure. Now, we want to do that in a way that creates a safe and healthy environment for our team and our communities. And we also do, aim to create meaningful value for our stakeholders and shareholders.
Just one quick update there, Mike, on the objective. You guys are still at the stage of delineating these high-grade resources, right? You're still in the exploration phase.
We are. We're very aggressive in our exploration, but we're still drilling. We have 5 drill rigs turning on the project right now. However, we're taking the steps towards, the production profile. So we are working towards that. So in the top right here, you have our historic chart looking back a year, and you can kind of see the story that I was telling earlier reflected in the share chart and then the subsequent move upwards. So we went from a low of about 25 cents in March to a high of nearly $3. Now, we've been tracing along this $1.40 range recently, and I do think that the new year is going to be an excellent time for Visa. We have we have five drill rigs turning. We have a heck of a lot of cash. We will end the year with in excess of $25 million in the bank. And as I said before, we're kind of moving towards optimizing the project to move into production. So, and as I think, 2021 will be an excellent year for the precious metals. I don't think that Visa will be in these levels for very long in that year. Now, as I did, just to recap on the left-hand side here, we do have, we'll end the year off with more than $25 million in the bank. We'll be very well funded for next year's budget. Our share structure is in very good shape. We have 91 million shares outstanding. If we go fully diluted, we'll end up at about 123 million shares outstanding. Now, that full dilution will bring in about $40 million in cash to the company. So that dilution comes with a lot of cash.
Mike, are the warrants and options in the money currently?
Some options are. I would say about 40% of the options are in the money. And some warrants are, I would say, it would be about 20% of the warrants are in the money. But the bulk of the warrants are at $2.40. And three major shareholders hold those from our last financing, our $30 million raise that we conducted in August. That would be Eric Sprott, Franklin Templeton, and for sale out of Brazil.
Okay.
Something to note as well on the company snapshot. Before I get into the project, one thing I'll point out is that myself, our chairman, our directors, advisors, our team, we own just about a quarter of the company. So we're very strong shareholders of Visa. So what attracted, first of all, us and subsequently Eric and these very high profile funds into Visa shareholders is the Panuco district here. The Panuco district is really quite a unique district to talk about because it's had over four centuries of production. It's one of the earlier silver fields that was discovered in Spanish Mexico. And it truly is a district here. It compares very favorably to other developed silver fields, but funnily enough, Panuco has never been systematically explored. Matter of fact, as we were arriving to the project originally, we found that there wasn't even a geology map. So that's something that we've had to do. Even those type of things that you kind of come to expect with mature mining districts, we didn't have that here. And so it's really interesting because it has all this production and all this production infrastructure, because in the last 40 years, the local Mexican mining families were operating here, but it's never had any systematic or any meaningful exploration done on the project. And, what else is interesting is that Panuco has over 75 kilometers of total vein strike, cumulative vein strike across the district. So it's really quite impressive that dwarfs many other silver fields, existing and established silver fields in Mexico. And as I discussed, it has that significant underground infrastructure as well, in addition to the mill that we have under option, in addition to the tailings that we have under option, in addition to the roads, the power, everything that a company would need that we have under option to us to go into production. There's also a huge amount of underground work. And last but not least, this project is located in a trend of established silver producers that run through the Sierra Madre Occidental and through Cienega and Durango, Sandy Mass, and coming out on kind of the Sinaloa side, the western side of the Sinaloa border is Panuco, and just to our south there is La Trinidad and the Rosario district as well. But pointing out the most important, I think, thing to point out here is Sandy Mass is 80 kilometers to the north of Visla, and it shares a huge amount of similarities. I'll get into that a little bit later. Now, when I talk about Panuco, there's three major takeaways that I always like to touch on and that I hope that our audience takes away from the presentations. And the first is the size of the district. I touched on it there, 75 kilometers of total cumulative vein strike. It compares very favorably to other major silver districts. The second point that I'll touch on later is the grade of the district. We have one of the highest grade silver finds in modern history here in Mexico. We're very, very excited about the grades that we see here. And the final point, the takeaway is that I like everybody understand the pathway to production that Vizsla has, which is a 500 ton per day mill that we have under option. We have all the tailings, the permits, everything that comes with the the existing production infrastructure at Panuco, we have under option to Vizsla. So starting in the top left here, you can see this is on a 5 kilometer scale bar. We can see that this is the vein field overlaying in Vancouver. So if some of you are from Vancouver, imagine landing at the Richmond Airport and driving all the way to the Second Narrows Bridge. That's kind of driving diagonally through the district. It's an absolutely huge district. And to the right is Manhattan. It takes up almost the entire island of Manhattan. Bottom left is London. You can see it fits over London and Hong Kong. Another way to look at this is the scale comparison, again, on that 5 kilometer scale bar to other established districts in Mexico, including First Majestic, Sandy Mass, Zacatecas, owned by Fresnillo, Guanajuato, and Las Chispas, owned by Silvercrest. You can see, the cumulative vein strike compares very favorably to places like Zacatecas, Fresnillo, each of which have about 50 kilometers of cumulative vein strike. One other thing that stands out to me on these comparisons is the market cap of the companies that operate in these areas. So, I think that harnessing the metals and the opportunities in one of these districts can create a huge amount of opportunity for a company.
So, Mike, one more quick comment on that, and I know we'll go back to this, is a lot of these projects have some sort of a resource on that. So that's going to be a question we're going to address. But what about grades? Do you have any general comparison on the grades you're seeing at Panuco compared to any of these other comparables?
Well, it does. I would say that, although we are early in, we haven't published our own resources yet. What I would say that, based on the average grade in Mexico, which is about 330 grams per ton silver, somewhere around there, 330, 350 grams per ton silver equivalent, that's reserve grade. We're seeing Panuco to be above average in those grades, and I would say more comparable to something like Silvercrest, which Las Chispas is one of the highest grade silver resources in Mexico. And, so I would say that we're on the higher end of grade, certainly. And that's what's going to drive margin. That's something that we're focused on, is high grade.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Now, a comparable to Panuco is Sandy Mass. And Sandy Mass, again, is 80 kilometers up the road. What's interesting about Sandy Mass is that it was consolidated far earlier than Panuco. It's been explored by kind of one coherent owner over many years, but it's produced a huge amount of gold and silver. It's historically has produced over 582 million ounces of silver and over 11 million ounces of gold. Still to this day, it produces over 12 million ounces of silver equivalent per annum. And that's what we're targeting here with Panuco.
Okay.
Now, Sandy Mass is 80 kilometers away. It's got near identical geology, near identical style of mineralization. Both projects have long-lived multiple episodes of vein formation, and Panuco and Sandy Mass share that long history of mining. Today, this is the value driver for First Majestic, a multi-billion dollar silver company that is just about to pay its first dividend now. So how did we come to own, or how did we come to consolidate the district of Panuco? Well, that's come from two separate option agreements with the local Mexican mining families there. So we've done two deals, one with Rio Panuco and one with Silverstone. And Rio Panuco is represented in the orange concession blocks. Rio Panuco also has a 500 ton per day mill. It has all the operating facilities and infrastructure that, that the company would need to be in production. And we have the ability to purchase all of that operating infrastructure, as well as the concessions that we're making these high-grade discoveries on for $23 million. In addition to that, we also have a long-dated option to purchase all of the Silverstone ground, which is the hashed light mark here. And that gives us additional upside, as well as the consolidation of the district, which has been very important because of the nature of the veins crossing multiple property boundaries. We're the only company ever to have this district to explore as well.
Mike, what are some of the terms for that Silverstone claim package?
So both with Rio Panuco and with Silverstone, we're not obligated to make any large payments until 2022. So we have basically up until 2022 to explore, build resources, be aggressive with our exploration before we make any large payments towards the overall cost. And that's a $20 million option as well. So, but in 2022, our payment is around $4.5 million to the vendors in total. So still an affordable amount, considering we have over $25 million in cash in the bank, a market cap of about $140 million Canadian.
Okay, because one question did come in asking, what is the plan to finance the upcoming purchase price of these assets? It really comes down to the fact that it's staged payment. So as long as the company continues to have success, money should not be an issue.
Yeah, another way to look at this is actually it's an exceptionally cheap option on production in Mexico. I mean, we're paying, these payments are really quite inconsequential for us up until 2022. And then still it's quite affordable, $5 million option payment, to have the right to go into production very rapidly in a proven high grade. I mean, we're drilling some of Mexico's highest grades. I've just shown the size of the district. I mean, it's really an excellent option for us, or an option on the price of silver or any way you want to look at it. But our intention is to certainly exercise these options, move into production. Now, the way that we would likely do that is through those warrants that we have, the $2.40 warrants that we could exercise, bringing in nearly $40 million Canadian. Another way, there's a number of ways that we're working on this. I would expect some news in 2021 on kind of next steps in terms of consolidation of the district, finalizing the purchase.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Let's get into these results now.
Sure. So when we arrived to the Panuco district, as I mentioned, it was very early stage for us exploration wise. And so we actually went and did classic prospecting that, wouldn't have changed much over the last 100 years. It was a mapping and sampling and going to old workings and determining where the ore shoots that we're targeting. Now, the ore shoots along these veins are the areas that are basically the areas where the resources are delivered, and it's either a kink or a dilation on the major vein corridors that run through the properties. And that's, what provides some of these astounding high grades. And another way to look at this is just with the sampling numbers that we did here. So underground sampling at San Carlos gave us 1.6 meters at 2.6 kilograms silver equivalent. Now, just going back to what I talked about earlier, that average grade in Mexico of reserves, the stuff that mining companies are mining is about let's call it 350 just for simplicity, but 350 grams per ton silver equivalent. And we're starting to see widths here, 3 meters at double that, 1.6 meters at 2.6 kilos. So, multiple times over that average grade. So that we've got, that got us very excited. And we determined on the back of that, the four main centers of discovery that we're going to drive our drilling for the next year. And so we had, we have four areas that we're drilling, well, three areas that we're drilling now, but four areas that we tested. And originally we tested the Animus area here, the Animus vein corridor. And now the Animus vein corridor is the center of historic mining. We drilled there originally. We were looking at some of the exploited ore shoots and testing at depth to see if the mineralization continued under the water table, which hadn't been mined. We were successful in finding mineralization there. However, we were more successful drilling the Napoleon vein corridor here, finding brand new, never been mined ore shoots that will provide us with the pathway to resources. So currently we're drilling at Napoleon with two rigs. We're drilling at Tijitos with one rig. And we're drilling with two rigs on Cordon del Oro. We've recently made a game changer discovery at Cordon del Oro at the Aguida Zarca zone. Now, the five rigs that are turning across the district, these are the rigs that are providing us with either the discoveries or the resource style drilling that's going to give us our initial resource that we'll put out on Diesel on the Panuco project. And this is a critical step for us, is to drill these resources and then later exercise those options and move into production. It's giving us the product for us to mine, essentially. Now, going back to Animas. Animas is interesting because it's given us a framework for the rest of the district. So how we look at this is there was 8 mined ore shoots over 3.5 kilometers. So over 3.5 kilometers of strike, going back to this slide, looking at this area here with all the multicolored dots. Underground, this is looking at it in a long section, looking at it underground workings here over 3.5 kilometers. We see there's multiple ore shoots: San Carlos, Clemens, El Muerto, La Pipa, Mariposa, San Martin, Rosarito, and La Bomba. And we've been able to digitalize these workings and understand them. Looking at that, again, it's not a 43-101 compliant number, but we believe that there's been significant mining on here. In similar areas in Mexico or, in other kind of void spaces at these grades, one could, maybe come to the conclusion that there's been in excess of 100 million ounces of silver equivalent mined from this area. So it gives us an idea that going back to these vein corridors, if we can find ore shoots over a meaningful distance here, we'll be able to put together a large resource. And so that's what we've started to put together here at Napoleon. So we made our initial discovery at the Napoleon vein corridor back in the middle of summer. And this is the area that actually we shut down for COVID and came back, and it was our top priority. So we drilled Napoleon and found some astounding grades here. So let's see if I have it on this chart here. So initially we were very pleased with the whole NP 2002, where we drilled 8.2 meters of 1.8 kilograms of silver equivalent, again, multiple times the mining widths that you see in Mexico and multiple times the grade that you see in Mexico. But it wasn't until a few holes later that we got the results back on hole 7, and it essentially changed our fate at Vizsla. It was very, very exciting. This was one of the best holes drilled in Mexico in a very long time. And so we drilled 6 meters of 8 kilograms of silver equivalent, keeping in mind that average grade of 350 in Mexico. So 8 kilograms, an astounding hole. And in that was actually over 2 ounces of gold. Now, we even had sub intervals that were in the 21 kilogram area. So it was just an astounding high grade area.
Hey, Mike, how far away was hole 7 from hole 2?
Well, this is actually a great way to look at it. It's a bit of a psychedelic image, but I'll point out some of these numbers here on this cross section of Napoleon. So hole 7 was here. So in true width, it actually turned out to be over 3 meters of 8 kilograms true width here. So excellent mining width. And hole 2 was just under 5 meters true width of 1.8 kilograms silver equivalent. And so that would be, it's about 150 meters or so away. And going down here another about 100 meters away, we have hole 2025. So this Napoleon area is really growing. And we're seeing, 15 meters of true width of 449 grams per ton silver equivalent. So an excellent, very broad intercept of, you know, of excellent, excellent grade there. We're also seeing a depth here, hole 27, 2.5 meters of 1.69 silver equivalent, kilogram silver equivalent. And there's some shallow holes here that we're waiting on. Now this Napoleon ore shoot is open, certainly at depth, and I'm excited to get numbers back on depth. To the north, it's open, and up here in the shallow area. So we're really starting to put this Napoleon cross section, put this Napoleon ore shoot together here. Now going back to the current discovery focus. So that would be here on Napoleon. Another area that we're drilling up here is called the Papayo zone. And now Papayo is demonstrating some excellent high grades. Now I believe that's another ore shoot that's going to be providing us with the potential for resources there on the Napoleon vein corridor. So we have two rigs turning on the Napoleon vein corridor that are putting together resource style drilling, putting together the potential for resource on Napoleon. Then we moved over and we took a rig. So we have a third rig here on Tijitos. And we made a new discovery, multi-kilo discovery on Tijitos as well. Tijitos is being drilled, and we believe that could create a lot of potential for resources. And then we had, one of the more exciting holes that come out of this last half of the year here for Mizo on Cordon del Oro is this Aguida Zarca. And Aguida Zarca is a brand new discovery. We drilled 18 meters at 457 grams per ton silver equivalent on Cordon del Oro. This is basically at surface here on the hill across from our El Coco Mill. Our El Coco Mill is down here, about a kilometer away. And this is a classic setting for building great resources or a large amount of metal here with these multiple veins kind of stacking up off of a main vein corridor, which is the Cordon del Oro vein corridor here. And this is over 400 meters. Our initial drilling returned 18 meters at 457 grams per ton silver equivalent. Now that was in an even broader intercept of just under 70 meters at 140 grams per ton silver equivalent. Really quite impressive. This is what it looks like in a cross section here with the drill hole coming down, intersecting actually a void space and coming through a number of these sub veins here, as well as this intercept here. So we're quite excited, we feel it's quite promising here at Aguida Zarca, and we're continuing to drill this area with our man portable rig, and we believe that there's going to be more to come from Aguida Zarca.
Mike, this is a good time for a quick discussion regarding the balance between grade and width. You guys obviously have hit some very high grade, but some of the questions that have come in, and I'm summarizing a couple of them here, but what about width? When it comes to a mining scenario, width is also important, even if it is a little bit lower grade. And maybe this Aguida Zarca zone, maybe you can use that as an example and as a balance to some of these other high grade intersects.
Sure. Well, I'd say, a good mining width for some of these areas in Mexico would be about 2 meters. So actually going back up to Napoleon, 15 meters at 449 is excellent. I mean, that's, over seven times, good mining width. 3 meters is an excellent mining width for this area. But when you start getting into, near 5 meter areas at over a kilo, that's exceptionally, that's very profitable, high margin rock there. There's also a conversation about mining method and grades and widths. So at Napoleon, actually, we're, something that we could contemplate an open cut over the vein corridor here. And that type of open cut over the vein corridor can allow for a company to get paid on areas that would be outside of the underground mining. So some of the lower grade material becomes economic then. But it also allows for a very inexpensive recovery, comparatively inexpensive recovery of some of these high grades here. So when it comes to underground mining though, having a 15 meter vein width here is that's amazing. But 3 meters is impressive, and it's at 8 kilos. That's an excellent mining width as well. Now looking at something like this, where you're looking at the Widasarka and it's an outcropping vein, and a number of these veinlets here that are in that general area. This would be something you could look at open pitting as well to capture this. So when you're looking at 18 meters at nearly half a kilogram of silver equivalent, again, that's over the average grade of reserves in Mexico. I mean, that could be very, very profitable. And now we are looking at different mining scenarios. Again, I mentioned that we are just above the mill down the hill from us here. So this type of broad intercept, this type of mineralization, certainly can be quite profitable.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Now going forward for 2021, and currently I should say, but I'll talk about the go forward plans in a moment. But currently we have 5 rigs again drilling on Napoleon, one at Napoleon proper original discovery, one at Papayo to the north. Both are offering I think promising futures for ore shoots here. Tijitos is more still exploration, I would say. We're still drilling on Tijitos, but it has the potential to create meaningful ounces there. And we are actively drilling the Widasarka that I just showed you here. We're drilling and expecting more results shortly from Cordon de Oro, probably sometime in January. But we're also focused on Peralta, which is the southern portion of the Cordon de Oro vein corridor. And that's an area that we haven't talked about too much, but as we gather more information, I think that's an area that we'll kind of potentially has could potentially move into a new focus for us.
So Mike, is it fair to say that there's still a lot of exploration going on, but at least a couple of these rigs are moving towards maybe some sort of resource being able to be shared with the market?
Well, I would say that certainly at Napoleon, we're doing resource style drilling. The reason I say resource style drilling is because I'm not giving guidance. Our Visa as a company isn't giving guidance on when we expect to publish a resource. That could be in 2021, could be sooner in 2021, could be later. We're just not giving guidance on that. But what we are doing is giving excellent disclosure, and so groups are able to kind of understand what we're drilling in terms of volumes and metrics like that, based on the disclosure we're putting out in press releases.
What has to happen for you guys to add a little bit more clarity on a resource? A lot of people have been asking it. So what can they maybe look for?
Well, I think things like, making this discovery at Cordon de Oro, that's certainly a great step. But, for us, I think that as a company, you don't want to limit yourself. And what we want to demonstrate here is that it's not two veins. What each one of these veins, the Napoleon corridor and the Cordon de Oro, would be enough for even a couple of junior mining companies to share the north and the south portion of each. So Vizsla, again, going back to that first point that I like to make, even the second point is, yeah, we have the grade, but we also have a huge district here, and I think it's important for the company to be valued not only on what it's drilling, but also what the upside is here. And we still have only really focused on two major vein corridors here, and then also Tijitos, which is a bit smaller. The district, again, 75 kilometers of total vein strike. There's so much to be found here that for us to rush out and put a small resource out, I don't think is necessarily doing right by the district. And for us to demonstrate that there's multiple centers of resources and there's a pathway to 100 million ounces of silver plus, I think that's an important thing to demonstrate. Now when you combine our resource drilling, we have 5 rigs turning, we have prospecting going on in the district, and then that final point, we have the mill, we have the pathway to production. I think that, you know, that's such a unique combination in a silver company that, you know, it puts us in such an excellent position. So, you know, actually, it's a good opportunity to go to the next slide here. For 2021, I believe that Visa will be Mexico's most aggressive junior explorer. You know, we'll be doing, we'll at least have 5 rigs turning. It's likely that we'll add several more. In the following weeks here, we'll put out a press release that talks about new targets that we put together. We haven't stopped prospecting. We haven't stopped mapping. You know, we haven't stopped understanding more about where else can we drill. So, you know, 5 rigs currently, more rigs to come in 2021, 30,000 plus meters of drilling, more mapping, more sampling. Now, all of this and resource drilling, all of this is, you know, it's not drilling for the sake of drilling. It's, you know, it's a business plan. Basically, we're putting together the resources that will allow us to exercise the option to own the mill and move into production. And, you know, I think that's really what's impressive here. And again, this is a differentiator between Vizsla and other discovery stories, is that we do have this pathway to production. We have that 500 ton per day mill, you know, tailings, all the operating permits that the companies have there, we get to buy. And, you know, as we continue to be successful with drilling across the district, and as we continue to be successful with, you know, with showing that pathway to resources, you know, and I believe over this time too, silver and gold will continue to rise in price. I think this will be such an attractive investment vehicle for investors looking to, you know, looking to have exposure to not only discovery, but near-term production.
So Mike, is there any work that needs to be done to the mill? Or I guess I should ask, what work would need to be done to the mill after, say, all of this is satisfied to actually start producing?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, it is 500 tons per day. We would optimize the mill. We would likely even look to expand what we see at the mill. So I would say that you could budget maybe $5 to $10 million Canadian in order to get it to a position that we'd be comfortable with. Happy to, you know, in order to really have it running at a level that we're comfortable with. So there is an additional expenditure there, but it's really quite de minimis compared to, you know, $100 million new build out of a of a mill in Mexico.
And the time component and something like that too.
Well, that's something that we always like to talk about as well, is if the audience is familiar with the Lassonde curve. A company typically goes from exploration success, you know, and then development, and as it goes through development and permitting and construction, it loses some market interest, and you know, it's called the Valley of Despair on that Lassonde curve. So effectively, for $23 million, we can buy out that Valley of Despair and move from, you know, discovery into, well, near-term production, I would say. So it's really quite an advantage, I would think. Another thing to touch on as well, and I can, you know, won't get too deep into our team, but Craig Perry, of course, many of your audience probably is familiar with Craig, but he's somebody who's actually built mines in the past and built one of the world's lowest cost coal mines in far eastern Russia. Charles Funk is doing an excellent job making these discoveries, and his team are making these discoveries, doing an excellent job in Mexico. But I'd like to point out Simon Swerlich, and Simon is the COO of the world's leading independent mine builder, Ausenco Engineering. Simon's been to the project. Simon is someone that we, you know, were able to lean on for advice, and is an excellent source of insight as it comes to the project as we move into construction and production. So, you know, our team is built of people who have production experience, and Stuart Smith as well too, a director, formerly was running the global copper business for Teck Resources. So maybe I'll finalize my presentation here, and happy to answer more questions after, but the major points and the main takeaways, other than Vizsla, is, you know, it's very well funded. We have over $25 million ending the year off. We have 5 drill rigs turning across the district, but the three major takeaways again is that grade. You know, we have spectacular grade at the project. We have size. We have a district that compares favorably to many of Mexico's largest silver camps, and ours has never been systematically explored. And we have this pathway to production. And again, that's the you know, special sauce, or the key differentiator is this pathway to production. And we can move very rapidly from discovering high grade over a big distance, over a big district, and move that into production very rapidly.
Okay, Mike, you know what? We're going to fire up our cameras here, and then we can address a couple other questions that have come in. Have been a number of questions here regarding production, and I understand that you have this pathway to production, and it's tough for you to answer, you know, what, where, when does a construction or production decision come? But what can you tell everybody about the process here over the next about 6 years when you still have these options available to you? What would make a production decision easier? What is the go forward plan to get into production?
Well, I think what we've always said in the past, and I think is still true, is that you know, a resource of say 30 to 40 million ounces of silver equivalent is certainly, you know, a threshold that we would I think we'd be comfortable hitting in the near term. The near future, I should say, within a year or two. You know, it's possible that we may even, you know, rapidly exceed that as well. But doing something like that, you know, creating a base, let's say, of that type of resource certainly gives us the comfort to move into production or kind of exercise those options and start the next steps. But I will point out that, you know, we're quite comfortable, we're quite happy with how our exploration is going, with our drilling at Napoleon and Cordon d'Oro. We are working with, we've retained a consultant that's helping us basically understand mining methods, understand the next steps towards, you know, towards building this into a mine. So it's not something that we're putting off, you know, it's something that we're actively pursuing and moving towards.
Okay. Kind of tied in with this, but as you progress down this path of discovery and even resource delineation, any potential that you guys would seek to be acquired or bring on some partner?
I don't know if we would want to necessarily bring on a partner, and this is something that we're, you know, we're building this because I'm confident that this could be a sandy mass. It could be a, you know, a major, you know, in silver terms, a 12 million ounce per annum producer is a very profitable, very large company in you know, in the silver universe. And so the, you know, the metrics for that, you look at something like a First Majestic or a Silvercrest or a Mag Silver, you know, you look at the premium that you get as a silver company with a large resource and high grades and pathway to production, that those are typically billion-dollar companies. So for us to sell it and not capitalize on you know, the upside here for our Vizsla shareholders, you know, I don't think that's something necessarily that we're, you know, we're pushing for. You know, our goal is to maximize shareholder value.
Okay. This other question tied into all of this, I just find it a very interesting question. I'm curious as to how you're going to answer this, but it deals with what is the most unanswered question you have to transform Vizsla from an exploration company to a development stage company?
So it's a good question, because I think it's a good way to answer that is that we are, you know, we are moving towards that direction. Of course, in any company, you can't just, you could, but it's ill-advised, I think, to just jump in, turn the mill on and start producing without a resource. A resource gives you kind of your cash flow modeling. It gives you, in addition to kind of your ability to plan a mine, it also gives you the ability to access capital as well. So I think, you know, we're not necessarily an exploration company. We're moving towards a production company, but you know, we're taking the steps that we need to first, which is to you know, to build the resource, do some planning, that type of thing. But again, it's important to point out that we really just made this discovery, really raised this money in July, August of this year. It's December now, And we continue to make new discoveries. We're really actively we're exploring at very great speed and efficiencies down at the project. And we're also building our team to kind of include those people that are going to help us take it to the next level. So I guess the best way to answer that is that, you know, we're answering those questions, I suppose, by drilling. And we're not, I wouldn't say we're lollygagging in terms of moving towards production.
No, hey, fair enough. And it's been a fun story to follow along just this year because of all the exploration success. And it's interesting, that path to production because of the existing infrastructure. Let's talk a little bit about share price, because the share price has come off a fair bit since its high in June. The June high, right around $2. This fade in share price has been on the back of a lot of drilling success. So any thoughts on what's caused this weakness? Any insights you can give us here?
Well, I think, you know, it's, if you were to look at the indices as well too, it would probably correspond with, you know, with the GDXJ and things like that, but also would really correspond with the all-time highs in gold and silver, or I should say gold, and the highs in silver as well, recent highs in silver. So, you know, we want to outperform the market. We want to outperform metal. I'm not happy about the share price, of course, and we're doing as much as we can. But I think it is important to point out that, you know, we made an exceptionally high grade discovery, eight kilograms of silver. Now, we've continued to make a number of high grade discoveries across the district. I think it just takes a little bit of time, you know, for all of this to be digested, and then for the market to say, look, well, you know, it wasn't just one hole. Now it's another. Okay, well, it's not just two holes. Now it's, you know, now there's two vein corridors. Okay, so it takes a little bit of time, and you know, I don't think that we're down here for very long. I think that although we are, it's not a terribly low market cap per se. You know, it's something that, you know, as management, we're always trying to be competitive and have the, you know, the highest share price and best value company that we can. And you'll see that if you kind of look at this last month or so. I think I've done, you know, maybe two dozen interviews or things like that. So I, you know, we're really banging the table, and I don't think it's very long that we're down here.
Oh, fair enough. You guys have a big drill program, and you've already had a lot of drilling success. Plus, the one thing that has really changed is the market cap of the company has increased to an extent now where you can look at those option payments, and it's not the full market cap of the company, right? Like when you guys first came out. So very different story there. Let's wrap it up here. Final comments, 2021. We've talked a lot about the major drill program. What are you most excited about? Wrap us up with a final comment regarding this.
Well, what I'm most excited about is just, you know, those major points. We're the only company in Mexico that's got 25 million plus in the cash, in the bank. We're the only company that has five rigs turning into more in the new year, that's drilling 8 kilos of silver, that's making new discoveries across a district that's never been explored before. So, you know, it's got to be high on every silver investor's radar to look at what we're doing here.
Okay. Hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Again, if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I continue to bring Mike on my show to provide updates on the drilling and really what's going on with the company, as well as address all of your questions. Mike, I really appreciate your time. There will be a video of this recording, so everyone can rewatch that. And again, just keep up to date. Keep me are up to date on any of your questions. Mike, thanks again for your time, and everybody, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, everybody.